I will never leave you or forsake you. Please be seated. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let mutual love continue. Some have entertained angels without knowing it. Be content with what you have. All these sayings come to us today from our second lesson from the book of Hebrews. And they would all make pretty good bumper stickers, don't you think? The book of Hebrews is a very interesting book in the Bible. It's one that takes a lot of study, and this part of it is quite different from the rest of it. It almost sounds like readings from Proverbs, doesn't it? With these pithy sayings and one-line advice columns coming at us. It continues with things like, keep your lives free from the love of money. Do not neglect to do good. Visit people in prison. Share what you have. It's quite the litany, isn't it? And coupled with our other readings today, Sirach, which is a part of the Apocrypha in the Bible, warns us against being arrogant and prideful and reminds us God will take down those in power when they become boastful and without humility. It even says God will destroy them. And then in the Gospel, Jesus admonishes the person who invited him to dinner. Imagine you hosting a dinner party, one of your guests has to call you out on things that you have done. Well, that's Jesus changing the game once again and asking us and them there gathered for the dinner to be more humble and to include in our lives those who we might not normally invite to come and feast with us. The lessons today should cause us, I know it does me, to stare hard in the mirror and see how we hold up to what the Word of God is saying today. I don't know about you, but that line in Hebrews about entertaining angels unaware always haunts me a bit. How many times has that happened to me? How many times have I missed the boat, missed some angelic encounter, or failed just to be hospitable to someone else? What's interesting is the word angel in the Bible simply means messenger, just messenger. Over the centuries, though, we've added a lot of weight to the word angel, haven't we, with artwork, paintings, and sculptures, and we put wings on angels and harps in their hands and have them sitting on clouds, and sometimes they have a bow and arrow with a little heart attached to it, or perhaps a flaming sword, right? But when angels appear in the Bible, other than Revelation, which is its own story, the description of the one who brings the message is rarely out of the ordinary, if they're described at all. When Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she will be the God-bearer, that she will give birth to the Messiah, how did she know Gabriel was an angel? In fact, one story that we were told when we were in the Holy Land last year in Israel was when we were in Nazareth at a place called Mary's Well, which is a church actually built on top of a well, and it was the actual well used in Nazareth during the time of Jesus. So Mary, like the other young girls in the village, would have gone there to draw water to take home every day, water to drink and bathe and cook with. And there's still water in that well. It's still an active well. And that legend about Mary's well says that Gabriel, the messenger, first appeared to Mary there at the well and scared her so bad that she dropped her water and ran home to her mother. And then good old Gabe, thank goodness, tried again to get his message across to her. Was it something about his countenance, about how he looked, or was it just the message that he gave her that scared Mary so bad? Well, we don't really know, but we do know that she said yes. And then in the Magnificat, this beautiful song of Mary's yes, she proclaims for all to hear something that's similar to what we have in our readings today, that God will cast down the mighty and lift up the lowly and feed the hungry and send the proud away empty. Mary's song is right in line with our scriptures for today. Cautionary words for all of us. Ronald Reagan was one of the greatest communicators of all time, you know that. But he'd love to tell this story about how pride can get you in trouble sometimes when you don't know it. He was giving a speech in Mexico City once. And during the speech, he was rarely interrupted by applause or cheers, which was, you know, normal for a Reagan speech. People were all over it, right? But he preached in English. He doesn't know Spanish, so he sat down. He's kind of disturbed by the fact they didn't really receive him like he's accustomed to. And the next speaker gets up, and he's a Spanish-speaking person. And like every other sentence, they're clapping and they're cheering and they're interrupting him. And Reagan at first thought, well, that's, you know, why are they doing that for him? They wouldn't do it for me, but, you know, I'm a bigger man than that. And he starts leading the clapping and being really loud in his support of what the speaker's saying, not having a clue what they're saying. And then the ambassador to Mexico, who speaks Spanish, leans over to President Reagan and says, you might want to stop doing that. All he's doing is interpreting your speech. He must have liked his speech, right? The Bible, though, is full of warnings about becoming too prideful. You know that. Pride comes before a fall. All these things that we're warned about, and there's a reason for that. The first lesson today begins with some challenging words, doesn't it? It says, the beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord. The heart has withdrawn from its maker. Well, that's pretty strong. And Jesus echoes this with his advice for us to take the lowest seat at the banquet. Perhaps you will be invited to move up higher, but how terrible if you're asked to move down. All these admonitions about being too prideful, striving to be humble and to lift others up are everywhere in our Holy Scripture. The evidence says that this must be something very important. And why is that? Well, it's because simply being prideful or boasting, claiming your own importance, makes an idol of yourself and your accomplishments, and that puts them above God, which violates the first commandment. You'll have no other gods but me. In Genesis chapter 11, we have that old story, the Tower of Babel. Do you remember that story where the people were trying to build a tower that could reach all the way up to the heavens so that they could be like God? And in the fourth verse of that chapter in Genesis, it says that the people were making a name for themselves. So God tears the tower down and changes everybody's languages and scatters the people all over the earth. They're making a name for themselves. The very next chapter of Genesis begins the story of Abraham. And in that beginning of that great story, we hear God tell Abraham that God will make him the father of all nations, that God will bless him so that he can be a blessing to others. Abraham, it won't be your doing. It'll be God's. I think all this about being humble, remembering that we owe everything to God, treating others with a higher honor than we allow ourselves to be treated, can all be wrapped up, though, in that first line from the second lesson in Hebrews that says, let mutual love continue. It's just another way of saying that new commandment that Jesus gave the disciples on his last night with them after he washed their feet, and he tells them, love each other the same way I have loved you. He calls it a new commandment. Jesus says this to them as he is preparing to empty himself completely as he heads to the cross. This ultimate act of humility lived into by Jesus gives us something, gives us life and forgiveness, gives us grace. And if we mutually love one another, no matter who the other is, we then shine forth that light of Christ to those who may for some reason think they're not worthy. Or perhaps we can witness to a better way to those who have forgotten God or never known God and placed ourselves on a higher pedestal than them and moved them up. The worst idol worship is worship of ourselves because it blocks us from remembering to whom we belong. And according to Sirach and Hebrews and Luke, the best way to avoid that is to lift up others in love and honor. Our opening collect that I share with you today calls God the Lord of all power and might. We need that reminder that God is God and we are not. It says God is the author and giver of all good things. And in that collect prayer, we pray for God to graft in our hearts the love of God's name. And we ask God to increase in us true religion. All of our readings today point us to what true religion is really about. It's about putting God first and loving others with a mutual, humble love. It is about remembering God as the Lord and the giver of all good things. Remember it especially when we lose or forget our calling to be hospitable to all, to be the humble servants like Jesus, to act out these words in practice and in prayer and not just speak them. In a few minutes, we will baptize a precious child of God. Jake Fuller. He's grandchild of Kelly and Van Fuller, great-grandchild of Carol Beaumar and Evelyn Fuller, and his other grandparents are here today. We welcome all of you, his parents, Kyle and Kelly, godparents, and all the family and friends that are here. It's a great day, and there is nothing more fun for a priest and a baptism. And I think part of that is because of what baptism reminds us of. That into this holy space, grace is coming in that sacrament. And with your prayers and mine, and with the blessing of water making it holy, and with this specially blessed oil, we will change something in him. He will not be the same child as he approaches that font as he will be when he leaves it. And we'll make the sign of the cross on Jake's head and proclaim that he has been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. But listen, folks, Jake does not know what sin is. He can't describe heresies. He can't talk about the structure and polity and government of the church. But he does already know this. He knows he is loved. And there will never be a time when he will not be loved. He already gets that. And friends, the same is true of you. We should reflect on our own baptism on days like this, for baptism is the perfect reminder that none of us has earned what God through Christ has freely given us. For Jake and all of us have been claimed and chosen by Christ. In return, all we are asked to do is to serve like Jesus served and love like Jesus loved. What a world we could live in if we could all just do that. So meanwhile, let's commit to practice that kind of love together. For nothing else brings the kingdom and the reign of God closer to us all. Let us let mutual love continue. Just remember that Jacob Hamilton Fuller and all of you, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will never forsake you. Amen.